Welcome to Lou Marks The Spot, brought to you by yours truly, Lou Marks, bringing sanity and common sense back to America. America is on the brink of extinction, and it's time our common sense prevails. If you're curious where America stands today, try walking into any truck stop diner and just listen to the conversations. Visit your local bar or pub and grab a stool close enough to a group of union welders and overhear what is said about Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Congressman Adam Schiff, and President Donald Trump. After these visits, you will no doubt come away with the same opinion. America, we're in big trouble. In 2016, then-candidate Trump campaigned on the gravity of electing Hillary Clinton and how the United States might possibly change forever if she was elected. Apparently his words, along with the very frightening thought of Hillary and Pelosi running this nation as it would be today, was enough to give the president the win. If there can be a positive word said about Hillary Clinton, and it's very doubtful that one can be even found, it is that at least Hillary is somewhat of a capitalist versus, say, an Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. Hillary likes money and lots of it, versus Pocahontas and Sanders, who is becoming more evident daily that they don't hold capitalism with the reverence that Clinton does. Democracy depends on the consent of the losers. For most of the 20th century, parties and candidates in the United States have competed in elections with the understanding that electoral defeats are neither permanent nor intolerable. The losers could accept the result, adjust their ideas and coalitions, and move on to fight in the next election. Ideas and policies would be contested, sometimes viciously, but however heated the rhetoric got, defeat was not generally equated with political annihilation. Now it is. The stakes could feel high, but rarely existential. In recent years, however, beginning before the election of Donald Trump and accelerating since, that has changed. In October, with the specter of impeachment looming, people fumed on. What is taking place is not an impeachment, it's a coup, and they were right. Intended to take away the power of the people, their vote, your freedoms, your Second Amendment, your religion, the military, the border wall, and your God-given rights as a citizen of the United States of America. And that is true. That's what the Democrats want. For good measure, there was the supporters' dark prediction that impeachment will cause a civil war-like fracture in this nation, from which our country will never heal. And the Democrats push it every day. It's their ultimate goal. The Democrats and liberals' apoplectic rhetoric matches the tenor of the times. The body politic is more fractious than any time in recent memory. Over the past 25 years, both red and blue areas have now become more deeply hewed, with Democrats clustering in cities and suburbs, and Republicans filling in rural areas and suburbs. In Congress, where the two caucuses once overlapped ideology, the dividing aisle has turned into a huge chasm. As partisans have drifted apart geographically and ideologically, they've become more hostile towards each other. In 1960, less than 5% of Democrats and Republicans said they'd be unhappy if their children married someone from another party. That makes sense. Today, 45% of Democrats would be, according to a recent Public Religion Research Institute Atlantic poll, far higher than the percentages that object to marriages crossing the boundaries of race and religion. As the hostility rises, Americans' trust in the Democrats and in one another is rapidly declining, and rightly so. A study released by the Pew Research Institute Center in July found that only about half of respondents believe their fellow citizens would accept election results, no matter who won. At the fringes, distrust has become centrifugal. Left-wing activists in California, they have revived talk of succession insanity. Recent research by political scientists at Vanderbilt University and other institutions has actually found Democrats and liberals distressingly willing to dehumanize members of the opposite party. Democrats and liberals are willing to explicitly state that members of the opposing party are like animals, that they lack essential human traits, the researchers found. If we're not Democrats or liberals, we're deplorables. We see it on TV, you see it on the news every day. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats and liberals encourage and exploit such fears. This is a dangerous line to cross. As the researchers wrote, dehumanization may loosen the moral restraints that would normally prevent us from harming another human being. We see that in major cities across the United States every day now for almost 4 months. Outright political violence remains considerably rarer than in other periods of partisan divide, including the late 1960s. But overheated rhetoric has helped radicalize most individuals. James Hodgkinson, who shot at Republican lawmakers and badly wounded Representative Steve Scalise at a baseball practice, was a member of the Facebook groups Terminate the Republican Party and The Road to Hell is Paved with Republicans. In other instances, political unrest and protests have turned violent, most notably in Charlottesville, Virginia, Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon, New York, Seattle, and other major cities. They're funded by the left-wing Democrats and run Marxist and terrorist Antifa movements and Black Lives Matter, and have clashed constantly with the police and local citizens, causing destruction and mayhem and murder wherever they go. The violence of these extremist groups range from arson, assault, mayhem, anarchy, and murder. Donald Trump was right. He inherited a mess. In January 2017, American foreign policy was, if not in crisis, in big trouble. Strong forces were putting stress on the old global political order. The rise of China to power was more than half the productive capacity of the United States, and defense spending to match. The partial recovery of a resentful Russia under a very skilled and thuggish autocrat. The discrediting of Western elites by the financial crash of 2008. Followed by roiling populist waves, of which Trump himself was part, a turbulent Middle East, economic dislocations worldwide. An American leadership that had partly discredited itself over the past generation compounded these problems. The Bush administration's war against jihadist Islam had been undermined by reports of mistreatment and torture. Its Afghan campaign had been inconclusive. Its invasion of Iraq had been deeply compromised by what turned out to be a false premise and 3 years of initial mismanagement. No weapons of mass destruction. The Obama administration's policy of retrenchment, described by a White House official as leading from behind, just made matters worse. The United States was generally passive as war caused some 500,000 deaths raged in Syria. The ripples of the conflict reached far into Europe, as some 5 million Syrians fled the country. A red line about the use of chemical weapons turned pale pink with Obama and then vanished, as Iran and Russia expanded their presence and influence in Syria ever more brazenly. And all throughout the 8 years of Obama's reign as President of the United States, he let it happen. Obama and Biden let it happen. A debilitating freeze in defense spending, meanwhile, left two-thirds of the U.S. Army maneuver brigades unready to fight and Air Force pilots unready to fly in combat. When Trump took office, they said they even had no ammunition. Here are some of the problems we face. Crooked Democratic politicians. We have so many on Capitol Hill that literally owes their political soul to lobbyists and lobbying groups that they can no longer cast votes for what is best for our nation. How do politicians like Nancy Pelosi, that had no money when they came into politics, making $174,000 a year, worth between $100 million and $200 million or more? It's impossible without corruption. Lobbyists. It is these very lobbyists for Big Pharma and the healthcare industry in general who have purchased our legislators to be able to run roughshod over Medicare and the insurance industry. Trump is doing his best to fight this. What this has accomplished is forcing senior citizens to choose between medication and food. It's America, shouldn't it be? This in turn has pushed the seniors into voting for the Democrats and their promises of free health care and prescriptions. which is a lie. Think in terms of 30 to 40 million votes for Democrats right out of the box by lies and false promises and things that are possible, impossible, that can't happen. Poor education. Over the past 20 plus years, our education system in this nation has gone from factual teaching of history to emotional teaching of history. Thus, they are rewriting our glorious history and painting American values as evil. America is an evil, racist, segregational country. This has created tens of millions of voters who don't see socialism as necessarily bad or evil. Then you have Bernie Sanders, now represented by Joe Biden, campaigning on how wonderful Sweden is and how we could do the same as they do in the Nordic nations. But Sweden and the Nordic nations absolutely are upset by being called socialists. They're not socialist nations. More lies by the Democrats. It will be these uneducated, if we are to lose this election, who will likely be the culprits that do elect a Democrat who's promising everything free. And of course, we all know trillions of dollars is the cost, and it can't be done. Free everything. This is actually a huge deal, and the Democrats know it. Millions of 20 and 30-something children are having to repay student loans to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars each. These payments, along with rent, utilities, car payments, insurance payments, credit card bills, etc., are making it tough for these younger people to survive and prosper. They're not used to having to tough it out for a while and want instant results, the millennials. They want it now, like little children, and they want the best that they can have, and they want it for free. Now they have a presidential candidate, Joe Biden, who is promising to pay off those loans and give them a free pass into prosperity. What do you think they're going to do? But they'll never get it. It's impossible to get it. Common sense. One and one always equals two. Struggling society. There is no question that in America today, we have tens of millions of families who are struggling to make ends meet. When you have Democrats promising and lying to elevate their wages, give them free health care, lies, plus other benefits, this is now very attractive to these people, even though they're lies. Lies sound good. An example of that is a high school graduate working at Walmart as a soccer, trying to save up enough money to go to a trade school and become a diesel mechanic. For example, he is now earning $8.60, let's say, an hour as a soccer. Bernie and Hillary and the rest of the Democrats and Joe Biden promise him $15 an hour for the same job. Who will you vote for if you're 19-year-old and wanting to go to school? He gets his wages nearly doubled, plus free tuition. Impossible. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. And if he lives in Vermont, if you are that naive. These are but a few of the issues facing our liberty loving patriots across our land. On top of the above, we have the mainstream media, which is colluding with the Democrats on every nightly newscast at 5:30 p.m., 10 p.m., 11 p.m., whatever time, every evening. They paint a bleaker and bleaker picture for Trump being impeached, convicted, and thrown out of office. They'll never stop. Make no mistake, this is definitely having an impact on this election. Whether the impact is good or bad for Republicans remains to be seen, but it is swaying the general public's mind. Use your common sense, people. Don't pay attention to what you see. My uncle, who was one of the smartest men I ever knew, maybe the smartest, always said, believe nothing of what you hear and even only half of what you see. Imagine for a moment what it would look like if we actually swear in Joe Biden. Think about this for a moment. Goes to the microphone and is addressing millions of Americans as well as 100 million Americans at home watching on television. He spends the next 1 hour and 20 minutes mumbling about how he would be calling for the House of Representatives to draft legislation and pass bills that he can sign which will dilute and strip Obamacare out of our system and implement a universal health care system whereby the government is in control of all health care. Do you believe for a moment that this will not happen? You had better rethink this because it will happen. But now he has to pay for it. This will be accomplished through him calling for top marginal tax rates to be increased to some 70% of your income. Why bother to work anymore? You paying almost all your money to the government. If you earn over $100,000 annually, that's what's going to happen. In addition, he is going to call for the government to seize at least 2% of the wealth of citizens such as Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and Michael Bloomberg. You really believe that? Common sense again. What these wealth-hating Democrat and liberal ideologues fail to realize is that many of the European and South American nations have tried this, tried socialism, and as usual, and has always failed. The second point is that Sweden, Denmark, Germany, England, Spain, Italy, and the rest of Europe doesn't have to invest $5 trillion or $5 billion in nuclear submarines and trillions of dollars in healthcare. Yes, England does have a couple of submarines, $15 billion in aircraft carrier. The United States does, and we pay for the bulk of Europe's defenses, which President Trump is changing, because most of these nations have a 40 to 50% plus income tax. They can now afford socialized medicine. The next reason is that the Houston metropolitan area has more residents than many of these Euro nations do. It's far easier to take care of 4 to 5 million citizens in a whole country than 330 plus million citizens in the United States. Makes sense, common sense. The bottom line is this. Patriots, if you love your nation as I do, do not sit on your butts this election season thinking that Donald Trump is going to walk away with this election. You had better get out and fight like hell to keep him in the White House. President Trump leveraged your recent political morning consult poll to prove a point he's been trying to make for months. It is finally sinking through. 46% or more of people believe major national news organizations fabricate stories and are fake news, even worse. And that is true. Common sense. Listen to what they say, but pay attention to what they do. What President Trump didn't point out was the mistrust of the press had been largely of their own making. It's the concept of lying press made famous by the Nazi Party in Germany during Adolf Hitler's rise to power. And the media itself does bear responsibility for distrust. The 24/7 news cycle and the rush to be first rather than right and the abject hate directed towards the president has led many voters to discount what they see on TV and what they read in the papers. The process was accelerated by Facebook, Twitter, and Google, companies that control information access for millions of people, and allowed the fake news to be presented unfiltered to voters around the country. And the truth was censored. Social scientists long ago established an unfortunate truth about history. We are condemned to forget its most important lessons, and it can happen in just one generation. We are now witnessing this forgetfulness again in nation after nation. White privilege, anti-immigration fear, and economic and national insecurity are being pushed by the Democrats and are upending political systems around the world with no end in sight. We are now more than a generation away from Nazi Germany and the roots of the conflict that precipitated World War II. New generations have forgotten how and why the Nazi Party rose to absolute authority in Germany. When we forget what worked, then it will work again. And Democrats have not forgotten. Today in the U.S., we are just one nuclear confrontation away from becoming a nation where martial law and military-controlled mass surveillance state will be viewed as a relief by many citizens. Destroying the media's credibility plays an important part in making that scenario a reality, and that's the fault of the Democrats and the fake news media themselves. To put it very simply, there were five basic, highly effective moves that allowed Hitler to rise. Pay attention because they're going to sound familiar. First, the Nazi Party allowed a coarse, uneducated leader to rise to prominence on a white privileged nationalist wave. Second, the conservative establishment party foolishly thought it could appease him by sharing power. Third, that some Nazi Party destroyed media credibility to science critics. Fourth, the Nazis literally burned the establishment Congress to the ground. Fifth, it seized authoritarian power by using unchallenged propaganda to participate in an existential threat allegedly emanating from those outside the white Aryan race and outside the nation's border. Democrats push it every day. It is the third stage, destroying the credibility of the mainstream media, that's happening right now, and the Politico Morning Consult poll shows it's working. Whether it continues to work in the next one, or 2 or 3 years, it is still very much an open question. One that depends on how other Republican leaders, who rightfully distrust journalists because they tend to be overwhelming progressive, and the actual leaders of the dominant media forms in America respond. But if this third stage works, if the Democrats get their way, and if the GOP leaders allow it to stand and happen, then the fourth and fifth stages we saw in Nazi Germany aren't all that far behind. There's a reason that dictators seize the TV stations, newspapers and magazines, and of course your weapons, and create their own media arms when they rise to power. Propaganda is effective when it's wielded expertly by the state. Adolf Hitler and his state media chief, Joseph Goebbels, forged plans for the Nazi Party's Ministry of Propaganda and Public Enlightenment during peacetime, long before the onset of World War II. According to the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, it was an unprecedented and largely unnoticed strategy. Their plan was, if you tell a lie enough times and good enough, people are going to believe it as the truth. How often do we hear the same exact words from the Democrats and all the fake news media across the board? The same words. The same exact lies, but using the same exact words. In the days after the Nazi victories of July 1932, Hitler informed Goebbels they intended to make Goebbels director of a new propaganda ministry when the Nazis took over the reins of national government. Goebbels soon envisioned an empire that would control schools, universities, film, radio, and propaganda. Democrats are running a close second. The national education of the German people, he wrote, will be placed in my hands. Democrats are trying to control schools now. They have the school teachers union. Hitler personally reviewed major films before they were released in Germany in order to excise Jews from parts of the films. Goebbels' propaganda ministry also had the power to exclude anyone from becoming a member of the working German press, keeping registries of racially pure editors and journalists, thus excluding Jews and those married to Jews from the profession and museum rights. Democrats want to control everything, what the people can see, what we the people can see, by controlling fake news, and what we can't see by not allowing them to show it. Fake news doesn't show the truth. They may show one word, one sentence, when there's millions of hours of tape. State-sanctioned propaganda, which works by destroying independent media, while simultaneously disseminating lies, is now lurking around every corner in America. Watch CNN, watch MSNBC, watch the Washington Post and New York Times, and in the press briefing room at the White House itself, where the press secretary and administration officials demonstrably false statements as truth or alternative facts. They lie about the president. They say it's from unnamed sources. There's no sources. Someone makes it up, says there's a person. Person doesn't even have to exist. And it's just passed around from the Democrats and liberals and the fake news media as fact. And that's it. The second half of successful propaganda, the national education of the people by the government, as Goebbels so accurately portrayed it, relies on a confluence and collaboration between the state and mass media. Again, always between the government and the mass media. That's the Democrats and the fake news media that voters consume. When mass surveillance, the people successfully manages to deliver lies as truth directly to those willing to consume and believe such lies, then the circle is complete. That's why our common sense comes into play now. There's too many lies, there's too many Democrats lying, too many liberals lying, too much fake news lying. They're turning a blind eye to the violence and murder and anarchy that's taking place in American cities. They turn a blind eye to it. They don't admit it exists. They even say it's a myth. But we know better. We have to believe what we see with our eyes. And here too, Google, Twitter, and Facebook are also complicit. They're incredibly successful engines of mass surveillance that the national government can, under certain circumstances, take full advantage of to counter imminent terrorist threats. The company's leadership have defended their mass surveillance efforts in the aim of countering terrorism efforts as harmless. And most Americans simply shrug at the notion of a mass surveillance corporate and national security state in America. The power of the security state to protect its citizens and the corporate state to profit from consumer data mining have become normal. If you have nothing to hide, then you have nothing to fear, say the many defenders of the technology companies. And their ability to know everything about us and share that information, either under contract or subpoena, and without any reason at all or permission with the national security agencies. This violates most of the Constitution and our rights, and this is how they control us. This is the mind police, the thought police. Hillary Clinton once said, "We could not be civil with a political party that wants to destroy American values." She has a good point. The only problem is, it's her party, the Democratic Party. It's high time Americans throw out Democrat politicians who promote mob anarchists and destruction of law and order, disgrace American heritage, delegitimize our institutions, abuse government power, exploit past injustices, and sow division in all-encompassing 21st century cultural revolution. We see it every day, again and again. Black Lives Matter, Marxist terrorist group, Antifa terrorist group. Just goes on. The police are hands are tied. The terrorists and anarchists and looters, they go free. Where the stakes are high, so too are the demands to save America from the tyranny of the Jacobean thought police on the cusp of a takeover of the Democratic Party, pledging a radical nationwide transformation. Democrats can't transform anything. All they can do is try to control us, control our thinking, and control the government. 4 years after Donald Trump's triumphant victory, Democrats have done everything in their power to undermine the Trump presidency, degrading government credibility, eroding trust in the political process, fake impeachment, fake Russia hoax. They've attacked even the legitimacy of the Electoral College. They've labeled the election rigged. Hillary just can't give it up. They can't give it up. They've claimed Trump's victory was a product of fake news. They've charged Russia with hacking the electoral contest while calling on electors to do it themselves. And even Obama was involved, now we know, and overturned the democratic result. At the same time, they've helped Russian President Vladimir Putin achieve the primary goal of his U.S. election interference to undermine public faith in the U.S. democratic process. Democrats did well. And this was all before Trump even took office. On Inauguration Day, Democratic members boycotted the Hallmark event, celebrating the peaceful transition of power and defamed the integrity of U.S. elections. Moments after the official oath, the Washington Post ran a headline providing a grim preview of what was to follow and a glimpse into how Trump derangement syndrome would become the first pandemic to impede progress on the president's legislative agenda. An agenda voters demanded and wanted and desired and needed. A campaign to impeach President Trump has begun, the Post wrote, the day after he's elected. They're already starting to impeach him. What insanity. Just no more proof is necessary. The Democrats are better, worse than the Nazis, better at it, and worse people than they were. And the campaign indeed stretched for years, the foundation of which were kicked off well before Trump's election, featuring deep state operatives weaponizing the U.S. intelligence agencies to overthrow the American president, included presidential candidate Joe Biden and former President Obama, and of course the Clintons. Now we know. It's facts. While ultimately a failure to journey to impeachment irreparably harmed trust in American institutions and distracted leaders and the politicians from real threats overseas and real problems in America. As the coronavirus pandemic was brewing in China, Democrats were nearing the climax of their 4-year impeachment saga. They didn't care about coronavirus. They still were in impeachment. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was withholding the articles from the upper chamber to extract concessions from Republican leaders for a Senate trial. Didn't care if people were dying from the virus. Just wanted what she wanted, impeachment. Months later, Democrats and leftist pundits such as Jennifer Rubin then had the audacity to charge Trump and Republicans with having blood on their hands. One has to wonder how many lives could have been saved had the federal government been better prepared at dealing with the virus because Congress and the White House had not been forced to entertain a pointless impeachment. Thank you, Democrats. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi. Thank you, liberals, for hurting America so badly. You will go down in history. With 4 months to go, or less now, until Election Day, Democrats are still chasing dreams of ousting the president through impeachment. And the media is running amok, breathing new life into long-expired conspiracy theories in a desperate attempt to pin Trump as the Kremlin agent. And now new ones, every day, like they say, is a new bombshell. It's going to keep happening. It's going to be turn out to be a lie. But in the meantime, it's going to distract everything. And even the Democrats and Biden are promoting it. When they weren't busy chasing tales of fantasy collusion with deep state operatives, they were harnessing their power over legacy media to derail Trump's Supreme Court nominees while wreaking havoc on institutional norms and eroding the presumption of innocence, one of the most important principles of Western law. No more innocence. If a woman says it, that's it, but that's only if it's Democrat wants to do it. There's justice for one, not justice for all with the Democrats. They withheld what they characterized as incriminating information, which is illegal, and launched unsubstantiated allegations while the press called for grand structural change and the packing of the Supreme Court to favor predetermined outcomes over objective jurisprudence. Now Democrats are relishing in a new 21st century cultural revolution of deceit and terror after having capitalized on liberal academia for decades, breeding aggressively woke children who have now permeated the leadership of the nation's institutions. Statues celebrating American patriotism are being desecrated, torn down, and vilified as relics of white supremacy. They don't even know who the people are they're tearing down the statues of. Anarchists are erecting autonomous zones in major cities where they can't go to jail. If you can go to jail, you get out the next day. Democrats are heeding calls to defund the police at a time they're needed the most by the people that need them the most. They just want control. Democrats need chaos and anarchy to gain control, but it's backfiring. Use your common sense. People are seeing it. Police don't cause violence. Police stop the violence. Everywhere President Trump sent in the National Guard or federal law enforcement, the violence stopped. When they left, the violence came back, thanks to the Democrats. One might criticize this podcast for its generalizations, but make no mistake, these generalizations now have manifested themselves into a new reality, and they are the truth. According to a new survey release, 70% of self-identifying liberals want to rewrite the United States Constitution to a new American Constitution that better reflects our diversity as a people. The hundreds of years, a few radical, insane, crazed Democrats think they know better after what worked, which made America and makes America the greatest, best country in the world. Based on historic frameworks for affirmative action and recent demands for a new modern era of enhanced segregation, a reasonable person might be able to accurately predict what that Constitution might look like. It won't be pretty. You can only imagine. The same survey found 44% of liberals want to blow up Mount Rushmore. Does that make sense? Why? Because Trump. Insanity. According to the Democratic Party, that doesn't sound like an insane idea. Common sense tells you how insane they really are. Insane people do not know they're insane. Anarchist, radical, leftist, Democratic Party leaders and their cheerleaders and apologists in the press cannot control or hide what is happening. It's just the Confederate statues, they tell us. But as Christopher Columbus sinks in a Baltimore harbor, it's just Confederate statues. Columbus, Washington, Jefferson. It isn't about disrespecting America. Just ending police brutality, they claim. I mean, that's how do you end police brutality when you're tearing down statues, burning buildings, destroying businesses, attacking people, beating the elderly, arson, violence, anarchy, murder. Incredible. Except that the phony leader of another colliding force as well, way back, if you remember, Colin Kaepernick, released a video calling the 4th of July a celebration of white supremacy. There's no other way to interpret his argument. The American experiment is built on an evil foundation and must be erased. Apparently, top Democrats were listening. Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth, a leading contender to become Biden's running mate at one time before he picked on the worst possible one, Kamala Harris, said on Sunday, "We ought to consider removing statues of George Washington and raise the specter of doing away with Mount Rushmore altogether." She said Trump spent all of his time talking about dead traitors this weekend, despite the fact that his speech was entirely about the founding fathers and other American heroes. Remember the Nazi party. Tell a lie enough times, and eventually people will believe it to be the truth. Prominent Democratic operatives started this nonsense last summer by pushing to label all Trump voters as racist. We're all racist, all of us. Half the country, maybe three quarters of the country, we're all racist. Now they bless an all-out assault on a core tenet of American political discourse, that we're all in this together, by arguing that not only are Trump and his supporters racist, but that celebrating American founding means you endorse white supremacy. Kaepernick's cult knows exactly what it wants, to cancel its political opposition and then delegitimize the American story as we have always known it, that has made America the greatest country in the world. Seek radical policy changes that can only be accomplished by removing the Democratic guardrails of separation of powers and the protection of minority party rights in the legislative branch. But in an irony that's lost on those who use it, the same defense was also a favorite of Nazi propagandist Hermann Goebbels. The phrase didn't originate with Hitler's propaganda chief, but Goebbels repeated it a number of times in local speeches in the run-up to World War II, as he and Hitler were building out the Ministry of Propaganda and Public Enlightenment. Democrats ought to change their name to the new Ministry of Propaganda and Public Enlightenment. They're doing the same. History is repeating itself, this time with tools and media forms that did not exist a generation ago, that make it easy, fast, and simple to spread hate, division, and racism. But the goal is the same. The power of state-sanctioned propaganda and its ability to destroy the credibility of independent, factual, honest, and true media is timeless for a simplest reason. It works. Our radical Democratic opponents are driven by hatred, prejudice, and rage, and jealousy. President Trump told the crowd at his re-election kickoff event in Orlando in June, "They want to destroy you, and they want to destroy our country as we know it." This is absolutely true. Senate Democrats are signaling they will end the legislative filibuster only if they gain control. Can you imagine that? They just come right out and say it. They'll only end the stalling and the filibuster, the stopping of bills and things that are good for Americans, if they can gain control. Effectively surrendering to the most extreme elements of the American left, they already run the House under Nancy Pelosi. Combine this change with a newfound taste for emergency powers exercised in the name of the coronavirus, you can see how the left's wildest, most radical dreams can come true in short order. What does America look like when Republicans no longer have the procedural tools to save the country from extremism? People, turn on your televisions, listen, use your common sense. People destroying America's cities and public property, and the petrified, enabled Democrats too weak to stop them, will have your future in their hands. President Trump is all that stands between us and the abyss.